Welcome to Cloudlandia, Mr. Sullivan.
Ah, Mr. Jackson.
Welcome to Cloudlandia.
And I'm in my 77th year, 78th year now, actually.
I know. How does it feel? Now we're caught back up 22 years apart.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Well, I was nervous. You know, I get nervous when you have an advantage. So I had to.
You had to beat that back.
I got more sleep. I exercised more during the period. But and summer is fully arrived here. It happened in like 5 days.
Okay, that's what I hear.
Yeah, we had like 70-degree weather for. For about 5 days, and the trees took this as an alert to completely fill in all the leaves. So
now, can we just get Justin to open the borders, please?
Yes. Yeah,
I'm anxious. I threw my hat over the fence, Dan. I'm declaring it over, and I'm doing the first live Breakthrough Blueprint here in Orlando in June.
Yeah.
So I'm going to see. It's a trial balloon. Throw it out there, and we'll start. Actually, today will be the day that the message will go out. But I think people are ready to perhaps, we'll see.
Well, we're still, because we're tri-country, we have three countries to deal with. So we're shooting for October.
The
first live workshop, probably Chicago.
Uh-huh.
And we'll see. I mean, what's really interesting I was looking at, there's kind of a Newton's third law to big events. So Newton's third law is for every action, there's an opposite and equal reaction.
Mm-hmm.
And the action was kind of almost like government martial law. I think you'd have to go back to, the Second World War, First World War, to get the government from top down, just shutting things down and restricting people and rationing things. And I said, I wonder what the third law is going to be. I wonder what the reaction is. And there's a website called Ballotpedia, ballot as in voting ballot.
Okay.
It's called Ballotpedia. And it tracks sort of things that are on the ballot for Americans, 50 states. And out of 45 states, there are 300 initiatives to restrict the power of governors and legislatures to shut down economic affairs.
The wheels of commerce.
I find that interesting.
Uh-huh.
And the five states where they're not on the ballot are California, New York. I don't know about New York, but New Jersey, Pennsylvania just restricted the governor to 21 days that the governor can issue a closed down order.
Uh-huh.
And then has to justify why he or she wants more than 21 days. But my feeling is that people will put up with things if they think there's a real danger. But if they get a sense that the rulers are taking advantage of this, or one party is taking advantage of this, then it
I was shocked by actually the Biden backlash of the tweet that changed his whole tone, where it said basically, well, the choice is wear a mask until you're vaccinated, or either get vaccinated or wear a mask until you do. the choice is simple or something like that, right? And that was that put everybody, all his celebrity endorsers over the edge to basically tell him what to do with that idea. And it's been interesting to watch how one tweet can change sentiment, you know?
Yeah, I mean, there's, looking at it from a slightly objective standpoint, there was no, I don't think within a living lifetime, in other words, within anyone's lifetime, political leaders ever had this type of challenge before.
Right. No, I think you're right.
So
Rick DeSantis here is very, his popularity just continues to rise with his, that's it. We're done with the masks. Like, he's really putting his foot down that he's overriding.
No passports.
Right. He's overriding the local mandates that saying by, as of, now, it's his, he's declaring it over, but then July 1st, it'll be legislated that it's over. So let's see. I mean,
Well, that's why there's 50, R&D labs in the United States.
So no, that's right.
50 states. And, the fair amount of power is given to the governors and legislatures in each of the states to try out different approaches, and then then there's some leaders who end up as roadkill. they chose what's it from Indiana Jones, you chose badly.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. So, what did you, where were you for your big transition? So you talked to the cottage or anything?
The buggy right now. All the
right now, right.
Deer flies around. So, you have to stay in the cottage anyway. So it's not just going, but we have another plot of land that we purchased just before COVID last year. So we're looking at, we're doing a tear down. We have a cottage there, but it's old and creaky and not worth saving. So we're looking at, we're going to get a manufactured.
Oh, nice.
Of some sort.
And are you going to add it on to your existing one, or are you?
No, it's a completely.
You're building a compound like you have. Nice.
It's a completely separate, and we can connect them with a path now. We have a path from one cottage to the other. And
very nice.
No, it's, I would say it's, I'm just trying to think here, a football field. It's one of my standards of measurement.
Right.
I would say it's 50 yards from one cottage to the other.
Yeah. Oh, very nice.
Football field. Yeah. And, we chose wisely because the cost of cottages has gone up 40% in the last 15 months.
Oh, man, I bet. Yeah.
What's your take on that? Because you're connected to very knowledgeable real estate people. What's your connect? I mean, it's kind of like in North America, it's almost like universal. It's almost like...
I think who's going to win now? Like, we're definitely moving into valuing space. I think that what this has done is it has folded out now the traditional one-hour bubble around the center of the major markets, and it's expanded that to 2 or 3 hours now. where that's within the go zone now, where people are not, you know, and it's just like the affordability of it. People have always pushed to the edges because of, as you get further away, it gets more affordable. Even in Georgetown, we used to say back then, like back in the early or the late 80s, early 90s, when house prices, what they were in Georgetown for a standard, you know, 3-bedroom bungalow, basically, is you could save $1,000 a minute per minute that you were willing to drive further from Georgetown. Mm-hmm. So if you went 10 minutes to Acton, the same house would be $10,000 less. If you were willing to go to Erin or Hillsburg, it could be $20,000 or $25,000 less. So that now, but that would have been the you know, tippy top end of where people would be willing to go, because Georgetown was the last stop on the go, the daily, you know, commuter train. So that you would drive 20 minutes to get to the go train and then take the train into the city. Well, now if you don't have to, you know, be in the city, suddenly places like Cambridge and, you know, Stratford and all these places that are too far to daily commute are now on the table, right? Like now that's something where you can actually have a better quality of life, bigger house, more space, smaller town. I think this is going to be a resurgence of the small towns, because with Cloudlandia support, we've talked about this, that your outpost on the mainland is really, there's, you're not missing anything by being, you know, in the remotest parts of the country, because Amazon and, you know, other e-commerce deliverers have you covered in that you could basically get anything that's physical, you know, at the very worst case scenario tomorrow by the end of the day, you know? And so I think that these small towns are going to really thrive, and especially with some property or places that were like Muskoka. I mean, good grief. It's so beautiful. And so, you know, that whole cottage country all the way from the Kawarthas up to, you know, your area is all.
Yeah, well, the school pub in our area, which is technically Halliburton, you know, that's the nearest town. it's they have a school there, 1 through 12. I think it's a 1 through 12, or it's K through 12. And in March of 2000, so start of the COVID period, they had 600 students at all grade levels, combined grade levels. And when they started back up in September, they had 960. So it's a 60% increase in students. And I have a suspicion it's going to hold, because the cottages, which are now being turned into permanent homes, a lot of cottages. Cottages for the summer are now becoming 12-month-a-year homes. And you know, who knows, maybe people have sold in the city, or they've rented, you know, their place in the city. But it's really interesting, because the school was totally unprepared, you know, totally unprepared. I mean, when you have a 60% increase, that that really, you know, that puts a strain on the school. And they're worried about the hospital system, because, you know, the hospital system is geared for what's been true for the last 10, 15 years. And all of a sudden you've got this increase of population. So, But I agree with that. On our way, we don't take a direct highway. We don't. We take the Don Valley North until we get to. They have a new extension beyond New Market.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the 404, I think it's called the 404,
uh-huh.
And you go up to, and then you cut across, and then you start cutting across through small towns and local roads to get to where we're going. And there's all these towns where the church isn't a church. The stores aren't stores anymore. They're mm-hmm. boarded up. But price of land and price of houses, I mean, you could, I mean, somebody who invests in these places will do really well.
Right.
And, we have super internet now. We have Bell. Our internet at the cottage uh-huh. is really great. Plus, we have Elon Musk's, the satellite right across. Goes right across. So the whole area of southern Ontario, up to, way beyond Muskoka, really southern Ontario, that's right in the path of his satellite.
That's so
he had very, very good reception. So it's
so
it kind of shows you that this is sort of a test area.
Yes.
This area that, I don't know how far it would go up north. I don't really know much above Muskoka.
Starting construction this year?
No, because we're adding on to the other cottage. We're looking, and it's going to be manufactured.
Oh, right. It'll I got you. Right.
Something that's manufactured in a warehouse.
Mm-hmm.
So what they do is they actually do your custom
There's some amazing
specifications.
There's such
and
amazing
things
now.
They actually construct it. They actually construct it piece by piece inside the warehouse, and then you give the final approval, and then they take it down. And it's got a basement. This particular cottage has a basement, so we'll take advantage of that, and we'll probably build a new basement, and then we'll, have it brought to the site and up it goes. It takes about 2-3 weeks, everything.
Uh-huh.
Once they, and there's about 50-60 cottage companies in Canada that do this type of work. So it's very competitive.
Yeah. I remember those, that was Viceroy was one of the ones that was.
Viceroy is still there. Yeah, Viceroy
is
still a big one. Yeah, yeah.
They had a great catalog, the Viceroy catalog. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Modern architecture.
So, but it's really going to, I just read a book that was written about 20 years ago and it was updated. It was called The Bottomless Well. And it's written by two people who believe that the whole global warming thing is, it's something for people who supported the Soviet Union to do now that the Soviet Union is gone, what they're talking about is that what you really want to do is waste energy, and that you don't want to conserve energy. You want to waste energy.
Mm.
And because really higher levels of uses of energy like lasers and server farms and Zoom workshops requires a very, very high level of refined energy to produce those activities. And it's so counterintuitive that even with me, it caught me by surprise. And they said that there's absolutely no example in history of anybody conserving energy and having it work out for them. The big thing is to always be using all the energy you have to create more focused kinds of energy. Like the combustion engine is a really, really good use of petroleum,
yes.
Because mm-hmm. it really really refines things. And they say that, you know, that solar and wind energy, it will have its use, you know, if you have wind and you have sun, mm-hmm. probably people will use it. And the problem is that they keep working on the technology, but if you use the technology right now, it requires a huge capital investment, mm-hmm. which may be obsolete in 5 years or 10 years.
Right.
The biggest problem they have, and they use a lot of land, the other thing going against solar and wind is that they use a huge amount of land. And so, but they're not energy intensive, you know, it's not like the explosiveness of natural gas. And uranium is tops, if you could get over the, you know, the scare from the 1970s and 1980s and mm-hmm. get to using uranium has got about 100 times the energy and intensiveness of even gas or oil.
Wow.
Yeah, the U.S. Navy has had uranium fleets now, nuclear fleets since 1953. Submarines and aircraft carriers have been mm-hmm. all nuclear, and they haven't had a single incident.
Mm.
So shows if you have it in the right hands and you have the right procedures. Nuclear is really the real key. I mean, you're talking about the extension of the bubble. Well, look at the Great Plains of the United States, or you know, that you could basically create a new town anywhere you wanted if it had a nuclear reactor that could provide all the electricity for, let's say, a town of 25,000-30,000 people.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's wild, right? Like the whole, that's what's really interesting is we don't have a land shortage for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in probably anywhere in the world, except for the major cities, which are congested only because
Europe
need to be. Do that. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of Europe are the cities of Europe. I mean,
it's very, very densely populated. I mean, the Low Countries. I mean, you're talking about Finland or Norway or Sweden. Sure.
Right.
They got lots of land. And, but they're again it. The Europeans are again it.
That's funny. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that whole.
And they're going backwards. I mean, Europe is really going backwards because, well, one thing is they have depressed populations, so they're losing population now. There's not, I think France is the only country in Europe right now which is gaining, maybe some of the eastern ones, Poland might be gaining population, but I think generally speaking, the Europeans stopped having babies about 25, 30 years ago.
Wow. Yeah, I saw a thing on 60 Minutes where, you know, Hungary is, you know, trying to incentivize
mm-hmm.
family, you know, to have more babies, offering them like prize packages, minivans and the like, you know, for agreeing to have more babies.
Yeah.
But they want them to be pure Hungarian babies. That's the interesting. Yes, that's the stuff. So very it's an interesting.
Well, it's it's an interesting thing about my sense is that as far as organization goes, probably governments are the you know, governments that work at probably the highest level of human organization. And and what I mean by that is that if you have a state like Florida, and there's a sense that Florida is doing well right now, generally speaking, when I look at the when I look at the news from the standpoint of employment, the standpoint of opening early, opening the economy early during the COVID period. Immigration, population going, population going up, employment really, really good, lots of jobs.
Florida's a winner.
I don't know what the law and order situation is in Florida, but you're probably okay.
We probably are. I mean, you know, my sheriff, Grady Judd, right here in Polk County, Florida, is, you know, trying to be kind of like Sheriff Joe in Arizona that's become so nationally prominent. Yes. So Grady is a law and order sheriff. And he loves a good press conference, and he loves when things that demonstrate law and order happen in Polk County. And he recently, they had a situation where someone fired on officers and then fled, and they did a chase, and which ended up in at a lake where the guy who was fleeing, you know, went into the water in the reeds and was like, you know, kind of trying to evade them in there. And they unloaded 157 rounds into the reeds and killed him. And in the press conference, they were asking, does 157 rounds sound like overkill? And Grady said, well, if it was 157 rounds, I hadn't heard that number, but if it was 157 rounds, then I assure you, that's all the bullets we had. We ran out of bullets. He said, I want anybody to know that if you come to Polk County and you shoot an officer and you run away, we'll shoot you back a lot. And he said, and I advise every resident of Polk County to do the same. If you're in your homes, I advise all of our residents to have a gun. And if somebody comes in your home, you shoot them. And it's really like just so unapologetically stand your ground. Like, we're a stand your ground state where you cannot be tried for. You can shoot somebody.
Well, it's
with immunity.
It's a really interesting thing. You know, of course, this is one of the amendments of the Constitution, the Second Amendment. And more and more, that's coming into play in people thinking about the future is the document that was, you know, 1787, 1788, I think, the document. And the first 10 amendments were actually the compromise that the people who wanted a federal government, they had to make with the people who were against a federal government. Okay, so they're called the Bill of Rights. And, you know, Madison, who was happy with the Constitution the way it was, he realized that unless they included these first 10 amendments, which are basically people who are afraid of a big federal government long way, you know, like Washington, D.C., or something like that. And they said, we won't sign, you know, we won't agree to the Constitution unless you put these safeguards in. And it's very, very interesting that 215 years later, this is really coming into play. How farsighted the people who put the Constitution together. Because if you lose, first of all, because there's a lot of tampering with the First Amendment, which is right of speech, you know, right of assembly, right of speech, and everything else. And it's it's a very, very interesting thing that you can see off into the future. But the United States is not a democracy, and a lot of people don't realize this, that the official title of the United States is a constitutional, a representative republic, a constitutional republic.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a democracy as such in each of the states because the elections are with popular vote, which indicates, you know, that it's democratic. But the country as a whole is not democratic because you need the, it's the total.
I just learned something. I didn't realize that. So the state elections are popular vote.
Yeah. So when the president's elected, there are 50
electoral
vote
college
elections. And then based on the electoral votes that the state has, those states are given. Like Maine splits them.
Mm-hmm.
They have part of the state will vote one way, part of the state will vote another. And usually it's two votes. They have two congressional seats and two votes go to the, how many they have. Well, they have to have at least three congressional seats because you have, two senators. You have two senators. And in some states, like Alaska, I think Alaska only has one congressperson, but they have two senators. I think Wyoming is that way. Every state gets two senators, and then they get congressional seat based on population.
Population, right. Mm-hmm.
And this year, they rejig all the voters because the census just came through. So there's only 435 congressional seats, and that's an amendment to the Constitution. They can't have more than 435.
Mm.
And you know why?
No.
There aren't any more seats. That's all the seats.
That's all we've got. That's the best. I love it. We're out of room.
1920, I think Arizona. It might have been Arizona, right? Alaska and Hawaii don't make they fit three more seats in or something.
No more. This is it.
That is so
funny.
No, they had to take seats away when Hawaii came in. They
reallocate
had to take
them.
Seats, reallocate them. They only have room for 435 people.
So that is the best.
Isn't that great though?
That reminds me of why the mother who couldn't figure out why she cuts the end off the roast, but it was because the grandmother had a roasting pan that was too short to fit the roast in. Oh man, that's so funny.
Yeah, but there's something very satisfying about that.
Enduring context. That's really what. That's the nice thing, right? I love.
Yeah,
well,
so
that's kind of our 25 year.
We have a congressman. We have a congressman from North Carolina who's in the strategic coach program. He's actually running for Senate. He's going to run for Senate next year. And he has to give up his seat to run for Senate. So there's an entrepreneurial risk. But he would be in favor of your sheriff because this is Ted Budd. I don't know if you've ever been in a workshop with him. He's been
not.
In a coach program.
Mm.
A dozen years anyway, and he's in the 10 times program. But he has shooting ranges. That's his entrepreneurial business, his shooting ranges. North Carolina, western part of North Carolina.
Ah, gotcha. Okay.
And great guy. I mean, I have a podcast, I have a Zoom call with him about every 6 weeks. Because he's using coach tools to organize his election campaigns. He uses
How fun is that? That's great.
And he said it gives him an enormous advantage.
Yeah.
He says it gives him an enormous advantage because he runs his business the same way. So there's one set of coach tools for the business and one set of coach tools for the political campaign. And he said it really keeps him very focused and very, very simple at the political level.
And, oh, that's great.
Yeah. Yeah. Great guy. Great guy. Good chance he'll win because he, when he ran for Congress, there were 17 candidates to get the nomination. So he took about, he beat 16 people to get the nomination, and then he more or less was unopposed. So he was elected in 16, reelected in 18, reelected in 20, and now he said, now I'm going to go for the Senate.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, he'd be one of the 100 senators in the country. And, but he keeps, he's got, they have a way, you know, that he's got his business. And mm-hmm. and I gave him, you know, I gave him a pass on that. I said, you know, because, just an interesting experiment for Coach to have an elected.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, Congress is an exclusive club, really.
Right, exactly. I mean, that's, yeah, that's pretty amazing. I wonder how, you know, it's an interesting thing. I saw a headline just in passing that they were eyeing a global tax and U.S. proposed 15% or something. Have you seen anything about this?
No, exactly.
This is what I wonder about Cloudlandia as we move.
No, no.
Migrate there, whether Cloudlandia is always going to be a free zone. Yeah.
I mean, the UN is lucky that it still keeps its property in New York.
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
I mean, Trump would have really liked to redevelop that property.
Yeah. That's something, you know, that whole, that's pretty amazing.
Big 24 acres, pretty mm-hmm. prime real estate. At least it was. New York's mm-hmm. going to have to come back a bit. Have you ever been?
I have. I'm not to the inside,
the United Nations.
Outside. I mean, I know where I've been to and by the United Nations, not in.
Yeah.
You know, Nick Nanton, just to give you the, you know how Nick always thinks big. Nick had organized an event at the United Nations where they would, they organized an event, a summit, a leaders summit, you know, I'll name it something, the World Economic Leadership Summit, and did a workshop, a mastermind for financial advisors to come and speak at the, United Nations. Yes, because they mm-hmm. actually rented the building is what it is, right?
Rented the
auditorium there. So now these advisors would have the distinction of being and have the photo op. Everybody got to do a 5-minute talk kind of thing where the whole purpose was while you're doing your 5-minute talk, they're photographing you on stage at the United Nations at the World Economic Summit that then they would make this beautiful certificate and picture.
Oh,
and I've
frame got one of those. I did.
Of you.
I did one, but mine was at the Hard Rock Cafe in New York. With
okay,
Nick.
There you go. There
black
you go.
Tie. Black
yeah.
tie.
Yeah.
And Brian Tracy. Brian Tracy and I.
Right.
That night.
Yeah.
Brian Tracy. And we were sitting next to each other. And
yeah.
He had just flown in from Estonia or something. You know,
okay,
he's older than I am. I mean, he's about three months older than me. And he was still doing red eyes and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that was interesting. That's kind of a neat thing that Nick sees this, you know, engineering opportunity here to create that moment.
Well, his whole point is that everything that works for entertainment celebrities should work for entrepreneurial celebrities.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that was his taking of a form that's well-known for him in the entertainment world and just moving it across the border into the entrepreneurial world. Yeah. And that's
pretty great.
Yeah.
Dan, I had a big breakthrough, I think, in the imagine if you applied yourself category. Now, here's the thing.
You haven't gone off the wagon, have you?
No. Listen, there's a loophole that I think I've discovered here. And it's all in the inflection and one slight adjustment to the spacing. It's the difference between, listen, when somebody's telling you, because typically it's usually a teacher or someone who's disappointed in your performance as what you're doing, right? This isn't a self statement. Nobody's saying to themselves, imagine if you applied yourself. It's somebody, usually a teacher or a parent, who's disappointed in your lackadaisical sort of approach to things, that is saying to you, imagine if you applied yourself, which is almost really saying, imagine if you did things the way I wanted you to do them, kind of thing, right? Mm-hmm. Or you did things like me, if you did things in a sequential order the way I think about things, right? Imagine if you applied yourself, meaning imagine if I could get you to do what I want you to do. Well,
in the way I want you to do it.
Yes. Yeah. They're saying, imagine if you applied yourself, meaning you've got to do this yourself, right? Now, yeah. I thought about it. What if it was that there's this way of magically applying not yourself as one word, but yourself as something detached from you? Imagine if you applied yourself.
Two words instead of.
Yes. Imagine if you applied. Imagine if you applied yourself. So then I got to digging and did all the etymological research here of breaking down the words. And self was really the most elegant, beautiful definition was very akin to your unique ability. Your special, uh-huh. The thing that makes you special and unique, right? And that, I think, is like who, not how, for the soul.
Yes.
Is who, not, it's like, what if you, applied a way that is uniquely your way of doing things? But it all starts with your imagination more than anything. Mm-hmm. That imagination becomes the active ingredient more than the disciplined execution of doing it yourself. You got to do it yourself.
Yes.
And this opens up the way for who, not how. If yourself.
Well, I think the other thing about it is that what I notice is even people who have unique abilities, they apply themselves to the degree that it satisfies their needs.
Yes.
But they don't apply themselves to get what they actually want. In other words, they. So there's the division of who, not how. So
yes.
Yourself is you applied directly to you being the visionary, and then all labor is really provided by other people. Is really provided by you're giving a vision, and then you're getting other people to apply themselves. But even within the framework of the vision, there's the vision of needing and there's the vision of wanting.
Yeah.
So I think there's actually another fine distinction there. And what I notice, and I really notice it now because I'm in real experimental territory at 77. I'm really experimental. And I often thought when I was in my 40s and 50s, when you're in your 70s, are you as ambitious? And I'm far, far more ambitious now at 77 than I was at 47 or 37. Uh-huh. you know, like that. So,
yeah,
but it's all who, not how.
Yeah.
You know, it's all who, not how. And the other thing, it's just based on wanting. You know,
but that's easy for you to say, Dan, coming from a 77-year-old who's got that security of knowing that you're fully entrenched in your Canada pension plan to fall back on. So there's you know, that's easy for you to say. That's total true. Cash confidence of your umbrella, you know?
That is true. Well, not only that, but I have, not only that, I have OHIP.
You got OHIP now. That's right. You're like covered. There's not really anything that could go wrong. Yeah. It's so, yeah, that's amazing. No, you know, yeah, it's a really, I think you're right though. Because it's not about the, I would say there's a difference between need and want. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Because we look at that and it's like, you know,
well, needing is a comparison with others and wanting is a comparison with yourself.
Uh-huh.
Yourself.
You know, that's an interesting thing. Like, so my core beliefs around money, if I think about the, even looking at my, I know I'm being successful when, that my passive revenue exceeds my lifestyle needs was my driver, right? And that has been true. But that, I think, if I look at it, you know, if I parse it out or look at the outcome of that, is that I have a core belief I can make whatever I need. That money has not ever been an issue for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I've not been a prodigious accumulator of wealth, of money. I've been a high income earner and I have some money, but not an ambitious amount of money, you know? And I'm starting to see that now. In the, you know, surrounding my cohorts, you know? Yeah.
Well, just relatively speaking, you're way ahead at your age than I was in that category. I mean, the last 15 years or so has been the big wealth accumulation for us. And, you know, I mean, we've got basically three prime areas. One is residential real estate in Canada, which is Toronto and Ontario.
Yeah.
And for example, our homes here in Toronto compared with, let's go back to, 1993 is when we invested in the first time in a home in the Beaches. And, you know, but that home right now has, it'd probably be a tear down. People would tear it down or do something with it. It's, we gutted it on two floors. It's, you know, it's basically two.
And, a one bedroom.
Great for us. But, you know, right now, though, but it would be, I think probably 300% what we paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 93. So, so what would that be? 29 years. Might be higher. Because there'd be a bidding war. Everything in the Beaches is going above asking. Everything you see on the signs, but above asking. So you get into a bidding war. And, but the one in Chicago we bought in 1998, and we're up maybe 30% since 1998. Mm-hmm. Because Chicago is not a growth center.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Might be now. I mean, we're in the burbs. I mean, you've been to the home. It's a nice home. And But anyway, and then so we have residential real estate, and then there's the company, and we just take it. We just basically say that the company's worth are profitable revenues. In other words, if they're at a certain level, we say that you could probably sell it for its revenue because we have no debt. And we're even last year, we were profitable. We weren't profitable. We were right at even between, you know, so it was a flat year, and we haven't had many of those. So
right.
And this year, we'll be back, you know, we'll be back to 80% of 2019. Last year, we were at 60%.
Wow.
Next year, we'll be 80% of 2019. And the year following, because we're at 400 right now for the virtual program.
Yes, nice.
The brand new virtual program. We've pulled in 400.
Cloudlandia version.
Cloudlandia. Yeah, the Cloudlandia version. And it's really amazing. I had a I had a 2-hour workshop last Wednesday, and there were, it was amazing, the group of people, and a lot of them hadn't even come to their first workshop. You know, they had signed up for a first workshop, but they hadn't come yet. And it was, you know, it was, we had Taiwan, Hong Kong, Singapore, Malaya, Mumbai, Dubai, Romania.
Right?
And very, very interesting people too. Very, very interesting people. So we really are global now. I mean, we've always said we're global, but we really are now. Yeah,
that's neat. So now it's like, there's the thing. That's really the opportunity, is that you're, you know, it's like the, in the United States, Canada, UK, and Cloudlandia. You've just opened up a fourth territory, is what it is. I think Cloudlandia. Yeah. I'm betting
on Cloudlandia
being the big one.
In 10 years, Cloudlandia will be bigger than our than all the other workshops. Well, see there, I mean, Cloudlandia is almost as good as Canadian Pension.
Right, exactly.
Well, it's an additional dimension. It's an additional.
This is great. It's such a great time. But, and thank you for that. That's an interesting thing, you know, to look at the, because I've been really kind of looking, you know, as moving into Cloudlandia here. This
Well, the other one is cash value life insurance, which is uniquely good in Canada. Canada in the world has better cash value life insurance. And you can buy it. I mean, if you're not in Canada, you can buy it, but you actually have to be physically in present in Canada to sign the papers.
Oh, interesting.
When you do. Yeah.
So you don't have to be a resident or a citizen. You can, but you have to be there when you buy it.
Yeah. That's, you know, Garnet Morris, who's in prison. Yeah. This is his one product for the last 28 years. Is
And they're the biggest insurance in the world at it, huh?
He would be. I think as an individual company, he would be the biggest one in the world. As a financial advisor company, he would be the biggest one. I mean, it's phenomenal what he's done. I mean, he started, it was just him and a secretary in 1995 when he joined Coach. And I think they have about 120 in the company now.
Wow.
And his CEO just signed, you know, she just joined Free Zone.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Very cool. That's Susan, is it? What's her?
Susan Kikich.
We've been in workshops together, right?
Yeah, she's a super manager. Executive. She's a partner, and she's she's a part owner, and she's the CEO, and she and your sheriff would get along really well.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so funny. I love
you
it.
You come back with spare bullets. I want to know why.
That's right. I want to know why. That's, we ran out of bullets. I mean, that's just, that's the best, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. There was funny. There was a there was a robbery and a murder in Toronto. And this, I'm going back here to, this would be probably around 1976, 1977. And it was in the, you know, the eastern part of the downtown, which is sort of like St. Jamestown. And it was kind of a project. These were the original Toronto projects.
Mm-hmm.
They were built in the 60s and 70s. And there were some abandoned homes there. It was like they were, you know, it was an area that had been developed somewhat into big project buildings. And then they had this. And the robbers, and they were drug addicts, they holed up in this house. And it was a standoff with the police with probably 5-6 hours. And I think they committed suicide. I think there were three of them. I think they were, you know, they were really, really high on drugs and everything like that. And there were like 100 shots fired.
Oh, man.
Not one by the police.
Hmm. Isn't that interesting? I mean, just the different dynamic.
Yeah. And you can't reproduce either of them in the other place. In other words,
right.
What you have going, that's very appropriate for the culture and the history of Polk County.
Yeah.
And what Toronto's doing is appropriate for the history and the culture of Toronto.
Yes.
And you get to choose, you know, I mean, mm-hmm. in life, you get to choose where you want to be.
Yeah. Yeah. You can live wherever you want.
Yeah. So it'd be interesting to talk to your teacher. She's probably dead and gone now, by now, but,
Jefferson.
You know, she just had to separate, one word. She just had
That's
to break
it
down
is.
Into its two parts.
Can you imagine though, Dan? Like what? And it's a fundamental difference.
Oh yeah.
Because when you're saying if you apply yourself, it's like you've got to do it yourself. But if you apply yourself,
when you use the word doing things to it. Yeah, when you use the word yourself, two words together, it's almost like you're a number. But if you put a separation between you and yourself, it's like you're. You know, you're Shakespeare. It's very,
but
it's
the biggest
very
thing that drives it, though, is the imagine. Is that's the thing? Is what you don't do is imagine, mm-hmm. because that's where the ambition can come in, right? Wanting what you want,
ambition, covering creativity,
what you need.
Ambition, creativity, and cooperation,
right.
It's a really, I mean, it's a neat, almost like talking point in a workshop or a talking point.
How do you
point,
define you know, what to, your ambition is, though, Dan? Like the, how do you, because you say that you're ambitious, right? What do you, how, what's the outcome of your ambition?
Well, it's growth. Mine is totally growth. So wherever I am, there's a bigger one coming up. You know, in other words, it doesn't matter where I am. And, I was thinking about it in relationship. We've got people knocking on our door here in the Beaches and saying, you wouldn't think of selling these three places. It's known that we have three places.
Yeah.
And people come to the door and we said, no, we're not. And he says, no harm in knocking. And he said, no harm in asking. So it's really, really interesting. But, you know, we're set here. I mean, but what
would
if
you
we
sell
decided
one? Would you
that,
sell the end one?
Nope. Wouldn't sell it. Nope. It's all integrated. We got the gardens all together.
Yeah.
So the big thing is that every year we're going to make a major new capital investment in the property that we have.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Gardens and redoing things and everything. And because I always want the feeling that it's getting better. You know.
Right.
Everything I have, I always want to get the feeling.
And one day, Dan, you're going to get that one behind you to make that pull through driveway.
No, nope, that's done. Yeah,
it's over?
Yeah, well, they completely, somebody tore it down and rebuilt a new, brand new house there.
So, oh, my goodness. Okay.
So I said, nope, that one's over. Not tearing down, you know.
Okay.
And, you know, it's in the real estate road race now.
Yeah, got it.
And, yeah. But it's great, and you know, we're going to completely redo our garages. You know, they have these kits mm-hmm. now. You can put and really make your garages. You know, you have all the cabinets and
yes,
everything's
right.
really nice. So we'll do those two things. Yeah, but every year, this year we really really did. We did our entirely brand new front patio with new plumbing and everything, and everything like that. But I always want improvement being made at every area of my life.
Yes.
Yeah.
I like what I'm hearing.
Otherwise I feel entropy is winning.
Mm-hmm. That's, I heard someone talk about their philosophy is expansion always yep. in all ways.
Yes.
Always expanding in all ways. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and when you do who, not how, it really gets almost unlimited.
Yes.
You know, that's a fundamental breakthrough. But I think wanting and the difference between wanting and needing is also, it's exponential. Needing, yeah. there's kind of like a endpoint, you know. And
yeah.
Howing, yeah. very definitely, there's an endpoint.
Yes.
And but what if you're who and you're wanting, who times wanting is totally exponential.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
So you held out. You held out for how many years? 30, 47 years you held out to get the right meaning of what your teacher had said.
That's exactly right. And I found it. Now I'm going to, I mean, this changes everything, Dan. I'm going to go back and I'm going to reconstitute my I know I'm being successful when.
Well, you know, it's really interesting because and just shows you the power of words.
Yes, it really does. You're absolutely right.
Yep.
I'm a firm, firm believer in that because literally I have been guiding my life for 21 years with those benchmarks, whether, you know, because I used to address them all the time. I used to be aware of them, but they're ingrained in me that I know I'm being successful when. And I've lived that for 21 years. And I see now that,
yeah.
That, you know, it'd be interesting now for the next 22 years to get to 77. What would be, what's the possibility to have a different set of
yep.
Yeah,
it's just like it's like at O'Hare, you've left the terminal, but it's going to be 45 minutes before you take off.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you've been in, you left the terminal 21 years ago, but you've been taxiing.
That's it. All right. Well, I'll get back to you on the on the upgrade. But that's
yeah. When's your blueprint breakthrough?
So it's end of June, 2021-22.
And that'll be in Orlando, right?
In Orlando at Celebration. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll have to see. We'll have to do a comparison afterwards of what you notice because you'll learn a lot.
Yeah, well, I think
I believe a lot of people have romanticized their memory of in-person events.
I think so too. That, and I was looking like the reason that I decided to do it for June is that that is literally the that's an anniversary of it because that was the very first one I did was in June of 2012, and it was about right around now you and I had a great our conversation that was you know, you were, I heard unique ability in a different way than I'd heard it because it was a different way you were articulating it, And the result of that conversation was throwing the hat over the fence and saying, yep, that's what I'm going to do. And that was the birth of the Breakthrough Blueprint.
Yeah. Well, I take this seriously because I find that I really look at words from all sides and figure out what the, you know, what, you know, is it a useful word? Is it not useful word? And and everything like that. And I want solid rocks under my, I want solid rocks in my foundation. And words,
me too.
Words are very important. All right.
Yes.
This was great.
Awesome, Dan. I always enjoy these. Have a great week.
Okay. Next week. Bye.
Okay. Bye.